Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church. We're happy that you're here to worship with us. And if you are a new parishioner, you may contact the office or see a sacristan after Mass, and they will be glad to welcome you. At this time, please take a moment to silence your cell phones. Our 2022 parish calendars will be available at the door of the church after Mass. And the Men's Club is selling tickets for their annual raffle. 10 winners will be selected throughout the year. Please refer to the bulletin for details. And the CCW will meet tomorrow at 9:30 a.m. All women are welcome to attend. An evening prayer and discernment for the Synod will be held on Wednesday, January 12th at 7 p.m. in the parish hall of Our Lady of Fatima in Inverness. All are welcomed and encouraged to attend. And now let us begin our devotional prayers in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
St. Michael, the Archangel, defend us now. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the other evil spirits who prowl about the world for the ruin of souls. Amen. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, mourning and weeping in this valley of tears. Turn then, most gracious advocate, your eyes of mercy towards us, and after this our exile, show unto us the blessed fruit of your womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary, pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Today's Mass is being said for Terry Jones.
Jesus comes to be baptized, we believe.
Jesus himself. So before we begin, let us make the sign of our faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ be with all of you.
Amen.
My brothers and sisters, as we gather together to celebrate God's love, let us first call to mind our sins and ask his mercy and forgiveness. You were sent to heal the contrite of heart. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
You came to call sinners. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
And you are seated at the right hand of the Father to intercede for us. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us everlasting life.
Amen. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for listening to our silent prayers and intentions for this Mass. For you who, when Jesus had been baptized in the River Jordan, and as the Holy Spirit descended upon him, you solemnly declared him to be your beloved Son. Grant your children by adoption, reborn of water and the Holy Spirit, that we too may always be pleasing to you. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
A reading from the book. prophet Isaiah, "Comfort, give comfort to my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her service is at an end. Her guilt is expiated. Indeed, she has received from the hand of the Lord double for all her sins. A voice cries out, 'In the desert, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the wasteland a highway for our God. Every valley shall be filled in. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. The rugged land shall be made a plain, the rough country a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Go up onto a high mountain, Zion, herald of glad tidings. Cry out at the top of your voice, Jerusalem, herald of good news. Fear not to cry out and say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. Here comes with power the Lord God who rules by a strong arm. Here is his reward with him, his recompense before him. Like a shepherd, he feeds his flock. In his arms, he gathers the lambs, carrying them in his bosom and leading the ewes with care." The word of the Lord.
Our psalm responds, "O bless the Lord, my soul."
Justly and devoutly in this age, as we await the blessed hope the appearance of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to deliver us from all lawlessness and to cleanse for himself a people of his own, eager to do what is good. When the kindness and generous love of God, our Savior, appeared, not because of any righteous deeds we had done, but because of his mercy, he saved us through the bath of rebirth and renewed by the Holy Spirit, whom he richly poured out on us through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that we might be justified by his grace and become heirs in hope of eternal life. The word of the Lord.
Today, as I mentioned before, we celebrate this feast of the baptism of Jesus. Well, what does that mean? Well, we hear in the scriptures that John the Baptist was offering a baptism of forgiveness and reconciliation. And Jesus took part in that sacrament, in that baptism. He didn't need to be forgiven. He's Jesus. He had no sin. But he did it, first of all, as an example to all of the rest, that baptism was important. And then second, he did it because, in a way, it suggested that his beginning in ministry, it was his start in becoming the one that would eventually end with his dying on the cross for our sins and giving us hope of everlasting life in heaven. Baptism was the beginning of his ministry, and that's why it was special to Jesus and why it is special to us. It is also special to God because, as we heard, you are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This is what the celebration of baptism of Jesus is about today. But how about our own baptisms? In many ways, this sacrament of baptism is very misunderstood. And I think the reason is because we're coming from several different levels and times of understanding of the sacrament. Most of you who are my age or older were probably taught that the sacrament of baptism was a washing away of original sin. Kind of a negative attitude in a way. And if you weren't baptized, you were going to hell. Whoa. That was a church of that time using that whole fear thing, you know, to motivate us. That's how they did a lot of different things. If you don't do it, you're going to go to hell. Well, of course, we didn't want to go to hell. And so we wanted our children baptized so that their original sin would be washed away. The original sin of Adam and Eve would be washed away from their souls. Well, I can understand that's the way we were taught, and that's the way we think. But today, since the Vatican Council, actually in the 60s and 70s, all of the bishops and cardinals from around the world gathered together to take another deeper look at the sacraments. Because a lot of stuff had crept in over the centuries, a lot of beliefs that weren't true and were false. And so the church wanted to get back to the kernel of understanding what the sacraments meant. And this is what they did, beginning with baptism. And when they looked seriously at the sacrament of baptism, the whole reference point was not about washing away of original sin, although that was a part of it. The whole part of the sacrament, important part of the sacrament, was a welcoming of that person into God's family. Just like it was with Jesus. You are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The sacrament of baptism makes us adopted children of God. And so too, we become his children. You are my beloved sons, daughters. John, Mary, all of you, we are the sons and daughters of God. That's why we call ourselves brothers and sisters in Christ. Because we have that adopted relationship with our Lord. This was one of the important aspects that the Vatican II tried to really express through the sacrament. And that the sacrament wasn't only a washing away of original sin, but that welcoming of that person into God's family. Who is God's family? You are. You are God's family. You are brothers and sisters in Christ. And so where is the perfect place to welcome a child into God's family? Right here during Mass. That's the most important time that you can have the whole family together to welcome this child into God's family. And so that was another aspect of our understanding the sacrament of baptism. The third part of the sacrament of baptism was not on the child itself, but on the parents. Because who were going to be the primary teachers of faith of that child so that they could understand the love of Christ in their life? It was going to be their parents, the ones that were going to raise them. And so, as a part of the actual liturgy of baptism, not only is the child welcome to God's family, but the parents, we pray that the parents, and they make a commitment. Are you willing to be the primary examples and teachers of faith for your child? Are you? And they'll hopefully say yes. But what does that mean? What does that mean? That means being willing to be that example, going to Mass, you know, trying to set a good example of faith for that child as it is growing up. I remember going over to some families different times, and they have children. And sometimes the children, they like to show off with the priest there and, do things. And the parents get upset. You know, calm down, calm down. Sometimes they get a little spanking on the rear end because they're too excited. And they say things they shouldn't say. And they say, "Oh, Father, I'm so sorry you heard that." And the mother says, "Well, you know, the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree." You know? It's amazing how little children can soak up all the bad things that they see around them. But it's also amazing that they can soak up all of the good things they see around them. And so that's why parents, it's so important for the parents to be primary teachers of faith. Now, with that situation, a lot of times when I was active in my own parish, I would get calls from grandparents, of course. "Father, my son, daughter, their family, they just had a baby and they would like to have the baby baptized. Can you take care of it for us?" And I'll say, "Well, why don't you have the parents call?" And they said, "Oh, well, you know, the parents are not really active in the church. They don't." And I said, "Well, you know, they need to be accepting the responsibility of faith of the child." And so the grandparents say, "Well, I don't care, just baptize them. We don't want them to go to hell, you know, and all that." And I said, "Well, I'll baptize them. They have the right to be baptized, but who's going to raise them in the faith?" So the baptism is like throwing some water on them. It has no meaning or purpose unless their parents are willing to be the examples of faith to raise them up. They'd be baptized, their sins would be washed, original sin, but what is the purpose then of baptism? Baptism is just the beginning of the journey. It's the welcoming of that child into God's family. It's that commitment that "I will always love you, I will always forgive you, I will always be with you." God's commitment to that child. "Even when you turn your back on me, I will always be loving you." And that is the commitment in baptism. But where does it go? With the example of the parents, it goes to understanding what the real purpose of God's family is about. And that's about caring and loving each other. Just as Jesus has loved us, so we are called to love one another. You know, that's a very difficult concept. And that's why the church for so many years used fear. You know, fear is you can understand fear. You know, if your parents or somebody says to you, "Hey, look, if you do this, you're going to..." You obey because you know that there's consequences. But the church moved from fear in the Vatican Council and then moved away from law, legalism. Because people just play with the legalism. You know, you can't eat meat on Friday. Okay, I'll have a lobster tail instead. You know, how we play with the law. So that wasn't helping either, or motivating people. So the church turned to love. Love is the motivation for what we do, the things we do. The only difficult thing is, for a lot of people, they don't understand love. Because love for them means love self. What is in it for me? What can I get out of it? How am I going to benefit from it? That's what they understand love to be. Jesus' love is loving one another, being willing to sacrifice your life on the cross, just as Jesus did. And that's tough love. That's very hard to live. It's a lifetime journey. I'd like to just share a little kind of a quiz, you might say, to bring back the point to you. And I don't expect you to answer these questions out loud, just to think about them. And I'm going to go through the first part pretty quickly. I want you to name five of the wealthiest people in the world. In your mind, just who are the five wealthiest people right off the top? Now that you've got that, I'd like you to name five Heisman Trophy winners. Name the last five winners of the Miss America pageant. Some of the guys might remember that one. Name the last five members of the Miss America pageant. Oh, I said that. The Nobel and Pulitzer Prizes. Well, if you're anything like me, my point is that really don't know. You know, the fact is that these people are really headliners in their day. They're no second-rate achievers. They are the best in their field. But the applause dies, the awards tarnish, and achievements are forgotten. Accolades and certificates are buried with their owners. Now think of the answers to these questions. List a few teachers who have aided you in your journey through school. I'm sure most of you could think of a couple of people that were really stood out in your life. Name three friends who have helped you through a difficult time. Name five people who have taught you something worthwhile. Think of a few people who have made you feel appreciated and loved and special. The lesson I'm trying to make here is that people who make a difference in your life are not the ones that with the most credentials or the most money or the most awards. They are simply the ones that cared the most for you. And that's really what baptism is all about. It's the beginning of a journey of love and caring for others, and having parents teach you how to do that. You know, loving doesn't come naturally. It has to be taught and exampled. And that's what parents and godparents are about, to be those examples of faith along with the larger community to set those examples. And the example is to learn from parents who already know themselves that God loves them, that they are deeply loved and cared for and forgiven. That is the wonderful gift that we have received and understanding from the Vatican Council. No more fear, no more legalism, only being loved. Loved and forgiven for whatever, it doesn't matter. Our Lord will always love us. Like I said, even when we turn our backs on Him, He will always be loving us. Loving us to His death on the cross. Loving us to someday being with Him in eternal life. I'd just like to close with this song. You might think of it as like a lullaby to you as a child of God, that our Lord is singing this, our Father in heaven is singing this to you to help you understand how much He truly loves you. I'd like you to do is close your eyes and just think that this is God singing this song to you and these words to you, not me.
Down to kiss away the tears in happiness I found, a reflection of the love in your eyes. And I'll sing you the songs of the rainbow, whisper all the joy that is mine. The dreams will bow down when you are born.
Who else do you know that would give their life for you? He loves each and every one of us so much. So let us now stand and make our profession of faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God,
begotten, not made, consubstantial of the Father.
Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen.
Our prayer of the faithful. My brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus loved us to his death, so we pray now that he will listen to our prayers.
That all members of the church may grow in love and knowledge of God through his grace and mercy. Let us pray to the Lord. That the Lord may bless his people in all nations with harmony and goodwill. Let us pray to the Lord. That all who are burdened by physical or emotional difficulties may receive God's healing touch and mercy. Let us pray to the Lord. That the Lord may always provide us with the grace for contrition and repentance and an aversion to sin. Let us pray to the Lord. That all who have died in the light of faith, especially Carmela Lindsay, may soon become heirs of eternal life with Christ, let us pray to the Lord. For the intentions we hold in the silence of our hearts. Let us pray to the Lord.
God our Father, we thank you for listening to these prayers, and we pray through your Son, Jesus Christ, to grant them to Christ our Lord. Amen.
As the gifts are prepared, let us sing number 649, Baptized in Water.
A new baptism, so that through the voice that came down from heaven, we might come to believe in your word dwelling among us, and by the Spirit's descending in the likeness of a dove, we might know that Christ, your servant, has been anointed with the oil of gladness and sent to bring the good news of his love to the poor. And so with powers of heaven, we worship you constantly on earth, and before your majesty without end we acclaim. In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity. Together with Francis, our Pope, and Gregory, our Bishop, and all the clergy, religious, and seminarians, we ask you to remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection. And and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, with Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles, Elizabeth Ann Seton, and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, that we too may be co-heirs to eternal life and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, forever and ever. Thank you.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter into my room, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. Body of Christ, bring me to everlasting life.
So let us now stand as we conclude our communion prayer. Nourished with these sacred gifts, we humbly entreat your mercy, O Lord, that faithfully listening to your only begotten Son, we may be your children in name and in truth. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And so the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
My brothers and sisters, this Mass has ended, but we go out from here to love and serve the Lord and one another.
Thanks be to God. As we send forth, let us sing together number 594, Shall We Gather at the River?